Good morning, guys. And it is Anthony again. And I know it's been a very long time. And I just wanted to let you guys know exactly what I've been up to. And we'll go from there. So in today's podcast, welcome back again. I'm going to go over exactly what I did in the time that I was away and how I applied watchmaking to get a 4.0 GPA in school and win competitions and run an ultra marathon. So let's talk about the past couple years. So I'll skip right to the chase, classic no BS style, right? Before I stepped away about a year ago at the time, we're talking about maybe February 2020, 2021, I was out to prove for my next upcoming book, The Principles of Watchmaking, and how it extends far beyond creating and repairing watches. I was out to prove that it could be applicable to everything we do in life, okay? I was trying to prove that these principles could be used to simplify, break down, and learn anything. It was a rather bold claim, okay? I completely get it. When I first put it out, a lot of people kind of challenged it, and as it should be. You know, honestly, it should definitely be challenged. It should definitely be something where people are always critical. I essentially came out and said that I found a blueprint to excel in anything. And if you guys know and learned anything from me, it would be to question everything, even if it's coming from me. So the context is the challenge, right? So during a Q&A or Ask Me Anything session, I think at the end of 2020 or 2021, you guys challenged me during a live call to apply and prove my claims in two specific ways. The first one was a mentally taxing setting. So we're talking a classic academia university setting. The second one was a more physical taxing setting. So think of it like martial arts, right? So during the Q&A, you guys said, why not try to do this in something where it's academic? And then someone else also mentioned, prove it in a physical context. Because if you can learn something, you know, why not become a master in XYZ? Okay. And it's perfectly legitimate request. So I completely was on board to prove it to myself. And most importantly, you guys, during, I believe, 2020, around... I think I have to double check, but I believe somewhere around COVID, I re-enrolled into traditional university. So I believe during one of those, I think early lockdown periods where everyone was trapped inside here in New York, of course, I believe during those live sessions, that's when I decided to prove it. So I re-enrolled into a traditional university and signed up to a martial art. Okay, so let's recap things here. I re-enrolled into a classic university, even though I already graduated from it. In retrospect, I think it was really ballsy. If I messed up, that would have been a lot of money down the drain. Okay, but I considered it an investment for future projects and actually the upcoming book. So the ideal was to re-enroll into the university while maintaining a full-time job and getting 4.0 GPA. So that was the objective. So for those of you wondering, yes, I legitimately re-enrolled back into a university. I paid all the tuition out of my pocket. At the time, I believe it was 2020 or 2022. It was over close to, I think, $18,000 worth of tuition. So while maintaining a full-time job, again, just to prove a point, was it stupid? Yes. Is it extreme? Yes. Costly? Yes. But did I prove my point? Yes. So to me, I think that was a good investment. I think that was a good learning experience. I was able to really fine tune and break down exactly more in a clear, concise way how I wanted to explain it in the next book. As for the martial art, I signed up to a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy because BJJ is apparently the huge thing nowadays. I paid about $230 a month for classes and on top of all these obligations. So all in all, for this experiment, we were looking at maybe $20,000 just to see if this whole thing was plausible and if the whole experiment would be successful. So nothing was really guaranteed here. So let's talk about the specific criteria for success, okay? I had a very clear definition for each setting. So for the university setting, I had to take a random assortment of classes to ensure I would be able to apply all of this in a wide a range of knowledge, a wider range of complexity, just to prove that these concepts from watchmaking is applicable to a vast majority of things. So the university setting actually did, in one sense, cost a lot of money, but at the same time, in one experiment, gave me multiple possibilities to see what worked in what subject and where it might not have worked. So I needed to prove that this did indeed work with any assortment of subjects, fields, etc. The goal would be to get a B+ or higher. So I had to get a 3.5 GPA or higher, and I must be enrolled for at least 3 to 4 semesters. Okay, for the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu context, I had to demonstrate fluency, I had to compete in a competition, and I had to get recognition by the professor or the teacher in the sense that I was exponentially increasing my not only efficiency, productivity, but also my effectiveness when I am training or competing. So here are the results, right? So I believe I went on a hiatus from 2020, came back 2021 towards the end of that, and then 2022, okay? So in the university context, I managed to attend courses, and I have images in front of me here. And if you guys are listening to, since you guys are listening to this, I would recommend going to the website, and it is the how I applied watchmaking to get a 4.0 GPA, win competitions, and run an ultra marathon. So if you go there and you scroll down, you'll see the pictures of the classes that I took. So I completed all of my courses with an A. I took multiple ranges of classes from biology, chemistry, physics, health and science, you name it, right? So I took language courses, I took everything. So in all those courses, I was able to get an A in everything. I won not only the Dean's List Award, but the President's List Award, the President's List Award as well. So what that meant is I graduated top 1% of my class. I finished up 2 more courses from December to February, and I had another 2 more courses from the time of the blog that I wrote that you're going to take a look at. So I wanted to clear up any confusion. Okay, so all in all, I believe it was about like a two-year thing. Mind you, the original goal was, again, just a couple semesters, but the classes were a mixture of general requirements, science, health, languages, etc. And I have proof in the pictures here in the website, and it will show that I took it up to beginning of 2022. Okay, so that's the academic setting. So that was actually really costly and very, very expensive, but I was very, very, I felt very relieved in my abilities and how I'm able to apply it. And I think putting all that into the next book that's coming up would be wonderful. And it proves exactly my point. And I don't know about you guys, but I very seldom see people who say that they can learn anything, try and do it, you know? So for me, it was a huge, huge investment and huge, for me, experiment to say, can I really do this, or am I just talking out of my ass, right? So there's, yeah, it was tough. So long story short, it was tough. So just because I can simplify, break down, and learn it doesn't mean that it's easy. It was tough, and it was definitely grueling at times that I questioned myself. Yes, I did. I had self-doubts, kind of, and I was looking at it like, maybe this is a really dumb thing to do. I mean, especially when you're $13,000 down the line and you're not even done with it, and you still have multiple semesters coming up. But I was able to snag a 4.0 GPA, learning subjects that I have zero to no interest in, simply by applying the frameworks and the mental models from watchmaking. So I'm really confident that if you guys apply these same principles that I'm going to lay out in the book, you too can achieve results like this. So for me, it's interestingly enough, when I talk to other watchmakers about this, they don't have the same tone or tenacity or love for watchmaking, even though they romanticize it, which is very surprising to me. You hear a lot of people in the industry who romanticize watchmaking, who talk about watchmaking, who love all these details and finishes and yada yada yada. But when you're talking to them about the frameworks and the mental models of watchmaking and how they're able to be analytical, etc., they almost seem, I don't want to say clueless, because subconsciously they might know what they're talking about, but consciously they're unaware of these frameworks and these mental models. So I find myself actually having to explain certain things to certain watchmakers, and then they make that connection and they're like, oh wow, I never thought of it like that. So for me, it's been a very interesting ride in explaining this to watchmakers. So I'm very curious, when I explain it to non-watchmakers and enthusiasts or just people in the watch industry, how they'll take it. But so far, it's been pretty positive. As for the martial arts, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, what's interesting, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has gotten so popular over the years. It's ridiculous. So I decided to do that. I felt like that would be more of a technical compared to boxing or Muay Thai, where you're punching pads, and I'm sure there's technique involved in it. But if you look at what most people are saying about grappling or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's more closely related to technical competencies, and they relate it to like chess, but your physical chess. And so I felt the need to say, hey, look, let's apply watchmaking to something like this. So with the BJJ Academy, I went from a random purple belt who hadn't trained in several years to a recognized competition brown belt with several local tournaments and two bigger grappling events under my belt. I was able to score silver medals at the International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation of Jiu-Jitsu at the International Opens. I was also a gold medal at another competition. I won two local submission-only tournaments, and at that time I had gotten requests to do super fights. In Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's a little interesting. It's not the same as your common, you know, it's not the same as like kickboxing or K1, Pride, UFC, etc. So it's a little different. So my way of looking at how successful with the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu was, if I was able to win gold medals, demonstrate fluency, be smooth, be completely proficient and efficient at what I'm doing, learn these moves that are coming in that the professors are teaching, and apply it. So the more I'm able to apply it, the more I'm able to put myself in those situations where it becomes an if this, then that type of scenario, then I'm accomplishing my goals. And I would call that a success if you ask me. And I'm sure someone out there will say that, will have something negative to say. But for me, with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and watchmaking, so some of you guys might be thinking, well, how the hell can you apply watchmaking to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? So in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I'm not talking about specifically submissions or anything like that. But what I'm specifically talking about is the ABCD approach. So if we're grappling or for fighting, you're going to do some actions, you're going to pose some questions to me. So let's think of it like that. So whenever you, let's just say you go for a takedown on me, you're posing a question to me for and for me to have an answer to your question. So for me to have an answer to your question, I need to be able to process your question first and foremost and analyze and be able to see it. So if you go for a takedown on me, that's your question to me. My answer to your takedown will be either to sprawl, front headlock, guillotine, etc. So now when you pose a question to me, I have an answer to your question, and now I pose a question back to you. So in martial arts and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, when this whole exchange between one and the other is who has more questions and answers than the other person. So when you're doing the takedown to me, I have an answer to your question. Do you have an answer to my question now? And if you don't have an answer to my question, then therefore I win that exchange and I gain that dominant position. So if I sprawl on you and you don't, if I sprawl on you when you perform your takedown and you don't know what to do after I sprawl on you, then I'm winning that exchange. I could be putting you in a terrible position and you are therefore one step behind because you do not have an answer to that question. And so when we're looking at martial arts like this, you can clearly see how watchmaking comes into play here, because everything becomes an if this, then that scenario. Everything becomes if this person does this, then I will do that. And then if you want to look at a more conceptual approach, you look at it from the end result, how you want to manufacture that end result, and you need to put them through a systematic progression into that end result. So everything has to funnel to your end result. It doesn't matter how we get there. We know we need to get you to the end result. Let's just say a submission, front headlock, guillotine, etc. You name it. Okay. So that's how I was able to apply watchmaking to a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu context and win medals, right? So all of this will be covered in the book. Okay, so all of this, if you guys are very interested in this, all of this will be covered in the next book that's coming up. So did I mention there was a bonus for this? So not only did I try this in an academic setting and try this in a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu setting, I also did this in a marathon setting. So not knowing whether I would succeed in the martial arts endeavor, so I didn't know I was going to be able to successfully prove myself in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu context, I decided to take up an extra physically taxing activity just in case. So a backup, so to say. So I went the extra mile, okay? So no pun intended, to compete in marathons and ultra marathons within a span of a year. I had zero to no experience in running prior to February 2021. So just as an FYI. So if I can do it, I'm very sure you can too. Okay, so I managed to apply the same principles to simplify and break down the necessary training times to get ready and succeed for these runs. I applied the watchmaking concepts. I knew how many miles I needed to run each day, how many miles to progress in order to achieve what I needed to do. So in this context, it was a very straightforward approach. It was just manufacturing everything from the end result to exactly what I needed to do. So there are a lot of guidelines and concepts and tricks that I was able to apply to speed up the process. So I went from jogging maybe zero for like 5-6 years, literally jogging zero amount of time. So I went from doing zero to about a 20-mile run just to see if I was able to do the marathon. And then from there to a actual marathon run the very next day, a 90-mile run within a week. And then from there, a couple months later, a 161-mile run. Yes, you did not hear that wrong. So it systematically went from a 21-mile ride to a 26.2-mile run to a 90-mile run within a week, okay? And then progressed to a 161 ultra marathon several months later. So to recap, the 161-mile run is arguably maybe top three of the toughest things I ever had to do. So it was almost very David Goggins style, just like pure nitty gritty. So I would like to say that the watchmaking principles and frameworks enabled me to do that. But the frameworks for watchmaking provided, I'll be completely honest, about 80%, 85% of the progression. Okay. But for the ultra marathon run, oh my goodness, I think maybe I had to be obsessive in finishing that run because I had a lot on the line. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about you guys. I was thinking about proving my point. And so I think a good portion at the end of that race was really chalked up to just pure grit, pure doubling down. But this is not to say that the watchmaking principles aren't perfect. You know, this is simply to say to you guys, I'm human too, right? And so I would say the watchmaking principles got me 85% of the way there, but the last 15% for that ultra marathon was brutal. So I'll be completely honest, the last 15 miles, the last 15% of the ultra marathon was just pure grit. Okay, so I've spoke for about like 20 minutes for now. All right. So again, the takeaway. So let's not take up your time too long today. I wasn't born talented. I wasn't born with any special genetics. I sucked in school. Okay. So my grades were never good. Especially since I didn't even know about watchmaking principles until later on in life when like I started to really take watchmaking seriously. You know, I sucked in martial arts. I sucked in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I was disorganized. I didn't have a clear set of thinking. Okay. So that's going to be a huge theme in the book as well. Being able to think critically and clearly. Okay. I was very disorganized. I never ran more than a mile in like 5-6 years, let alone a marathon when I was setting this record. And I had no idea how to break things down and work towards a simplified step-by-step process. I did, however, progress through all of these challenges and experiments using the principles of watchmaking that I know today and being able to have it organized and being able to have it readily accessible and being able to utilize it. And so I think having these mental frameworks, these mental models, I guess you can say, is and I believe will be extremely important in any endeavor that you can do in life. So for me personally, what I call all of this in this experiment a success, I think I will. I mean, I'm sure there are going to be some, you know, keyboard warriors out there who have something negative to say, and I'm sure of it. But to make it clear, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, grit or pig-headed determination. I felt positive and controlled that each step I took was calculated and how I went about simplifying and breaking down everything to key components. And the way I like to look at it like this is, I know it's poor timing because of Will Smith and him smacking Chris Rock and all that, but it's akin to kind of Will Smith's story, right? Like, you don't try to build a wall. You know, you don't set out to build the wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick, this one brick, as perfectly as a brick can be laid. And you do that every single day. And soon you will have a wall. Okay. February 2021 was a tough time in my life. I had many things to sort out. My family, work, the current book right now, brands, etc. And living up to my word with you guys to prove my point meant a lot to me. So during that ultra marathon, the last 20 miles of that was purely just straight up David Goggins cookie jar, like who's carrying the boats type of shit, you know, just like this meant a lot to me. So this meant that something for me personally had to give. Like I put posting every day at the time on hold. So that's why you've seen such a long hiatus. so I can focus on bigger plans, a bigger brick wall, as you can say, So, and I would like to think that I believe I accomplished that and that now I'm back. So again, if you guys aren't following me on Instagram, please follow me there. You'll see that I've started posting a lot more regularly again. I'm also on YouTube. Check me out there. YouTube is going to be a big, big next progression in the next phase. And I have a book that's coming out later this year. And so make sure you're signed up to the VIP list so you can get the pre-order access. So that's my shameless plug. Guys, what I want to say and recap this whole thing here is it's been far too long. Okay, I think the last episode was 2020, and I think I've grown leaps and bounds since trying to find the next phase of the no BS watchmaker. And as maybe you can see, maybe there's a more clear, concise audio format here as well. I just want to make sure to let you guys know that I thank you so much. I want to take this time out and say thank you for believing in me. Thank you for being on board. Thank you for still listening to me. And again, if there's anything you guys ever need, please feel free to reach out to me. You know where to find me. You know the website. You know the Instagram. You know the YouTube, etc. I will always be readily accessible to anybody who reaches out to me. And so to recap, the past 3 years or 2 years has been just put out there to make sure I have some concrete proof to prove to you that this does work. So that's it for today's episode, ladies and gents, and I'll talk to you next time.